Ephesians 1, we'll start with verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. For above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let us pray. Father, thanking you again today, Father, for these precious words of Scripture. Thank you, Father, for your presence with us today and all the things that's went before this message. We thank you for the singing, the giving, Lord, the praying, and all that's went before. We thank you for it. Now, Lord, we need your power here during the preaching of your word. This preacher needs you. I need your power. I need your wisdom. And, Lord, we need hearts here today, all of us, that'll just open our hearts to you and let you do that which needs to be done in our life today. We're going to thank you and praise you for it. In the lovely name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message this morning, I've just entitled it, The Church. I want to preach to the church this morning. And I know I'm going to just start off by saying to you, and you already know this, but the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. You and I both know that God doesn't change. He never does. He's always the same. Same yesterday, you see, and today, and forever. He'll always be the same. I'm thankful for that. He's a wonderful, wonderful God, and he loved us. But sometimes his dealings with men change, the way he deals with men. Let's go back into the Old Testament and remember from Abraham unto Christ. Israel was the center of God's attention at that time, and then it come to Christ, and Christ came and died on the cross for us and done all the things, was buried, rose again, and the church was formed. And I want to say to you that the church is very, very important to the Lord. Amen. We need to realize that God deals through the church. Now, there's never been two ways of salvation. Never has been. It's always the blood. It's always belief in God. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ, the looking forward, and then the actual happening of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how a person is saved. No one's going to be saved except through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, I'm grateful for that, aren't you? I'm so thankful that he is the way and the truth and the life. Now, we know that according to verse number 22, he says, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And listen to what he says, which is his body. Now, we can, and you'll hear people talk about, and certainly it is true, the body of Jesus Christ is every born again believer, no matter where he's at. Wherever he's at on the face of this earth, a born-again believer is part of the body of Christ. He's the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's no doubt about that. But the body as a whole, as a universal body, has never met once together. Now, I'll just explain. Let me explain this to you. You know, it's going to, but it's never gathered together and ever met. It's never made any decisions. It's never used discipline on its members. the body of Christ. That is everybody who's ever been born again into God's family and accepted Christ as their personal Savior. But one of these days, when the rapture comes, when Jesus calls us home to be with Him, the church as a whole, as a body, is going to meet for the first time. We'll be gathered up together to meet with the Lord in the air. The reason I'm telling you all that, because I want you to understand when God talks about the church in the Bible here, He's talking about basically the local church. Okay, so don't get it all mixed up and say, well, there's a whole, yes, I know the body of Christ is out there. But when God talks to the church, He talks to the local congregations who serves ordinances, who makes decisions, who uses discipline, who gathers on the first day of the week and also other times. You understand what I'm saying? You see, it's the local church. And I say to you that many, many people have a tragic disregard for the importance of the local church. And I'm saying to you, God established it. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, Jesus is building His church. And the local church is so important. But there's a lot of people has disregard for the local church. They after they get saved, they don't really see the necessity of baptism. Baptism is important. It doesn't save you. It's never saved anybody, never will save anybody. But baptism is in being in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He tells us to be baptized, we are to be baptized. We're going to have baptism this morning. Why? Because people is going to be obedient. They've believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to be obedient in following in baptism. And I say to you, if you're born again, if you're saved, and you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized. You need to follow the Lord in baptism. Now, you agree with that? That's the right thing to do? Yes, it is, because it's the Word of God, you see. And so we believe that. Another thing, a lot of times people don't really see a need to join the church and become a part of the church, the local assembly. But it is important that you do that. You need to have a church home. I'll tell you ahead of time, Kevin Bell back here is going to be baptized this morning, and he's already asked us that, and said, how do you get to be a church member? He wants to become a church member. You know why? Because he's doing right. He's got saved and baptized, and he wants to be a church member. Amen. So that's right. That's proper, you see, to do that. So those things are important. There's a disregard today for it, as though it doesn't make any difference. You know, I'm saved now, and don't make a difference whether I get baptized. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't save you. It's getting saved saves you. But you ought to get baptized, because it's right and proper to do. And I'd say to you, if any of you is out there saved, you ought to present yourself for baptism. Yeah. You ought to get saved, you see. I mean, yes, you ought to get saved, but you ought to get baptized. Then you ought to join a good independent fundamental Baptist, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. I mean, that would be right, wouldn't it? Amen. So that's what you do next. Amen. So, but it don't save you. Joining this church never saved anybody. Amen. But that's the right thing to do. You see, you get baptized, then you join the church. You see, and that's the right, proper thing to do. But there's a lot of disregard for that nowadays. And I want to just take you back over to the book of Acts. Hold your place in Ephesians. Book of Acts, the second chapter of the book of Acts. And we'll just read a few verses here. We won't read a lot. But notice here, this was after the day of Pentecost. Amen. Day of Pentecost, you know, and they met and all of that. But in verse 41, right after that, it said, then they gladly received His word. That's in Acts 2nd chapter, verse 41. And when they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You notice here, these folk got saved on the day of Pentecost. And what did they do? Well, they got baptized. You don't find a one of them. And it's interesting. It's so interesting. I don't know what people use. They go back through the Bible. They use, well, I'm not ready to get baptized. If you get saved, you better be ready to get baptized. You go through the Bible, and you'll find time after time after time after time after time. People got saved. What did they do next? They got baptized. You just look it up in the Scripture. Amen. Lydia done the same thing. Jailer done the same thing. All those folk, what do you do when you get saved? Well, you get baptized. You follow the Lord in baptism. That's right. Proper thing to do, you see. And then they was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they was added to the congregation. They was added to the people here. Added to the with the disciples and all of them. They added together. They met together. And they served God together, you see. Why? Because it's right. That's local church. What the local church does. And notice there, he says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. What do you do? Well, you come and do the things that you do at church. You see, the breaking of bread, the communion service, and all of that. And you pray and you gather together. We need each other's strength, whether you understand it or not. We need each other's strength. Yes, we do. You see, we need it. You take an old coal off of the fire and you set it over here to the side, it ain't going to be long. It's going to be as cold as anything. But you stay in together, into the church together, and be a part of the church, and it helps keep us warm for the Lord. You see, so those are right, proper things. Amen. A person don't want to join a church, don't want to get baptized, has no scriptural basis for any of that, you see. They don't have any strength. So I'm just saying to you, it's a right, proper thing. You see, you get saved, you get baptized, and then you follow the Lord. We could read on down through there, but I just basically want you to understand that's what they did even in the days of the apostles. You understand? Do you hear me? Hear this preacher? You see, that's what we do. We do right, you see. So anyway, there's a lot of disregard for those things. And then even after salvation, after baptism, sometimes people just, you don't see them anymore. I've got this bit. I've got baptismal certificates here. Of people who got baptized and haven't seen them since. I'm waiting for them to come back so I can give them their certificate. That's a bunch of foolishness. That's foolishness. That's silliness. You see, that's not right. You see, you get saved, you get baptized, you need to be faithful in attendance. And it's right for every single person to be faithful in attendance at God's house. How are you going to learn anything if you don't sit under the preaching of the Word of God? You see, Brother Ross, I'll just get my Bible and read it. No, you won't. You'll get as cold as you can get. You'll get cold as a crick rock, as my dad used to say. And you won't read your Bibles, and you won't understand half of it when you do. And anyway, you need to be in church. You need to hear the Word of God preached. You need to attend church regularly. Just be in God's house. Amen. That's right. So, and then also, there's no stewardship. In other words, God has made us stewards. Then all at once they're gone and there's no stewardship. Folks, what is our responsibility? What are we supposed to do? We're to support the house of God. All right? Stewardship. Absolutely. And not only just the supporting of the house of God, but other things, our time, our talents, and all of those things. We are stewards of those. So we work through the local church. Amen. That's the way God ordained all of this, you see. And then, of course, if they're not here, there can be no church discipline. You know what I mean? And you know, churches are to have discipline in their church. Sure they are. It's scriptural. Amen. And then also the ordinances. You know, we have that first day of or first Sunday in every month. And we have the Lord's Supper. You know, there's people out there that say they're Christians, say they've been born again, and hasn't partaken of the Lord's ordinance for years. Now, that's a shame. When God instructed us, as often as you do it in remembrance of Him. We are to do that. And it's just a disregard today. Just disregard to the things of God and the house of God. And I'm just simply saying to you this morning, that's just absolutely wrong. And I know many of you out here, you believe that, you're faithful, and I know you do those things, but I just want to mark it down that it's right and proper. Amen. I'd hate to look back this year, this last year, and say I never did to partake of the Lord's Supper. That'd be a shame. I never did give any of my tithes and offerings into the house of God. I didn't even attend hardly any. What's wrong? You see, that's not right. No. That's not what God teaches. Now, let me just say something to you about fellowship with God's people. And a lot of people, And I believe this. I believe we're to love every brethren. Do you believe that? Everybody's a child of God. I believe we're to love them. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that's instructed. But also, sometimes we forget we're not always to walk with them. Now, I want you to listen to a verse of Scripture, okay? This is in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, 6th verse. Here's what he says. Now, we command you, brethren. I'm one of the brethren. Are you? I'm one of the brethren. Amen. He said, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name. Serious business. Amen. He says, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother. Didn't say lost person. Said every brother that walketh disorderly. And not after the tradition which he received of us. Now what I'm saying is I'm to love every brethren, but I'm not to walk with every brethren. If a brethren is walking disorderly according to the word of God, you're not to walk with them. Now what do you do? Well, what you do is you love them and pray for their turning around, their lives around and getting right with God. That's what you do. You pray for them. You want them to get right with God, but you don't walk with them. Amen. When a person is walking disorderly, outside of the Word of God and contrary to the doctrines of the Word of God, we're not to walk with them. Yes, we're to love them, but he says you're to withdraw yourself from them. Now, that part of the preaching most folk don't like. But it's part of the Word of God as much as John 3:16 is part of the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? And so when someone walks disorderly, we're not to walk with them. Amen. Love them. Pray for them. We want to see their restoration back to the Lord. Absolutely. All of those things. But the church is in a very important group of people. And we're to walk right. We're to serve God. We're to love God. We're not to put up with foolishness in the congregation. Do you believe that? I believe that. Yes, sir. But when someone does restore themselves with God and does walk back and get forgiveness and walks back with the way they're supposed to be walking, what should we do? Well, we forgive also. We open our hearts to them and we welcome them into the house of God. We're glad for that. Amen? That's the way the church is supposed to be. Now, first of all, the church, God had an eternal purpose for the church. He had an eternal purpose. Over in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter of Ephesians, I want to start reading at verse 10. He says, well, let me read verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What I want to tell you, God had an eternal purpose for the church. We'll reread that one verse of Scripture in just a moment, but God had an eternal purpose. Now, I believe something. I believe that God wanted to save souls. We know that. That's why Jesus came. He wanted to win people into himself so that he could be born again. But there was more of an extended purpose for the church. God says in verse 10, he says, be known, the last of it, to be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Do you realize throughout all the ages of eternity, all eternity will show forth through the church the great wisdom of God in what he done through the church? It's not just, sure, we want to get saved and sure, God's saving souls, but it's an extended thing throughout all eternity. It'll be showing through the church that God had great wisdom. Amen. And God was great. Amen. So is the church important? Yes, it is. You see, every born again Christian is important because we're showing forth the great wisdom of God in that he saved our souls and formed the church. And through the church's work, people were saved and born again and grows in the Lord. That's God's purpose. So we better be what we ought to be. We ought to shape up. and be exactly what we ought to be. Then also over in chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, he said in verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now listen, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And I believe that certainly in this age, he's showing forth that. I believe also in all eternity, it's going to show forth the riches of God's grace. There wasn't a person here that's ever been saved except by the grace of God. Amen. You and I would not be saved if it wasn't by his grace. And we're to show forth that grace of God throughout all the ages to come, showing forth the goodness of God in that he bestowed his grace on us through Jesus Christ. You see, so is the church important? Yes, it is. And I believe it's a lot more important today than most folk want to give it. I believe we just kind of make lightly of the church, but the church is important. That's why your pastor preaches like he does, and I keep after us to keep right on down the line. Amen. Now, stay right here where we're supposed to be. Just keep on going and loving God and walking with God. Why? Because it's important. See, you go out here and people sin and get outside of the will of God and they sin, and then the world out here looks at them and laughs at them and mocks at them and says, you know, they don't mean anything down there. Yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. You see, every single day of our life is supposed to be a life lived for Jesus. Do you believe that? Sure. And you see, so the church is important. The local church is important, and it's important how you live. You see, I understand people who just gotten saved not too long ago, you know, and they're growing and learning, and that's part of it. And I'm for them. I want to help them to grow, and they need to grow and learn. But when a person's been saved 5, 10, 15, 20 years, they ought to know something. Yeah. Ought to know how to live for God. Yeah. Amen. Walk with the Lord, you see. So anyway, not only that, we see, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but we see if you go back to the Old Testament, you see the church pictured even in the Old Testament. You see, remember when God took a rib out of Adam? That was a picture of the church being taken out of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we're part of his body, part of his flesh, part of his bone over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. You see, and that's a picture of what God did in the church. And Jesus is calling people out of, and he's produced the church. He's building the church. And that's what God did clear back there in the Garden of Eden, back there. And he took a rib out of Adam and made a woman. You understand what I'm saying? There's other pictures. A bride for Isaac. Abraham sent a servant, which I think it pictures the Holy Spirit of God, into a far country and to get a bride for Isaac, which I think Isaac is a picture of Jesus and Rebecca is a picture of the church. And he went and got a bride for him, brought him unto Isaac. I'm saying there's pictures throughout the Bible of the church. And God had this all in mind. I didn't mention that in that scripture, but God had that all in mind from the very beginning of creation. You see, the church is important. Not only that, the church was promised. Jesus said, I will build my church. So you've got to understand, this is Jesus building the church. It's Jesus doing it. And I say to you, it's important, because not only did he say he would build his church, he will preserve his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, some people think, well, the church one of these days is just going to die off. No, it never will die off. Oh, Jesus has promised. He's preserved it forever. The gates of hell won't prevail against the church. So I want to be in that which Jesus is building. Amen. And he's building local churches all over this country and all over the world, you see. So don't get in your mind that the church is not important. The church is important. It's a very important place. And what God is doing in this church right here is very, very, very important unto the Lord, you see. And then we know also that the church was purchased. The Bible says, you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with precious blood of Christ. You see, Jesus purchased the church. He purchased your salvation, and it was with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else could pay for it. It was his blood, and it was purchased by God. So I want to tell you something. The church is pretty important. Amen. So you keep that in your mind. The church, the local church, is important. It is imperfect, but it is very important to God Almighty. Amen. One man said one time, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it, because it won't be perfect anymore. I think he's probably right there. Amen. But anyway, what I'm saying to you is the church is important, and it's important it keeps its purity. It's important it keeps its love for God. You understand? Because Jesus is the one that is building, and he bought it. He paid the cost. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that purchased the church. Amen. So that's important. And then over in Ephesians, if you're still there, Ephesians, the fifth chapter, the 27th, in verse 26, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You see, God said he's going to present that church to himself. Jesus is saying that. He's going to present the church, his bride, unto himself. And he says that he might present it as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He wants a perfect church. Now, what does he do to get that? He knows we are so imperfect. He knows that. But he's going to present unto him a perfect church. And what he does, he is busy even now in getting us ready to be presented unto him. He is, whether you understand it or not, or I understand it or not, God is trying to cleanse us even this very day. The Bible says in 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So what do we do? Should we purify ourselves? Should we live right? And we find things that are not right in our life, should we correct them? Yes, we did. We should, because that's what he said. We purify ourselves. Any man that has that hope, what hope? The hope of eternal life. Not hoping you have eternal life, but the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see, and what do? Well, we purify ourselves. That's what preaching's about. That's what reading the Bible's about. That's what the Holy Spirit does in your heart and touches you and convicts you and me of sin in our life. And he says, purify yourself. Get rid of that sin. Then one of these days, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ when Jesus is going to finish the job. At the judgment seat of Christ, those things that does not stand the test of fire will be burned up, be purified, be gone. But those that stand the test of fire, those things we did for the glory of God, will remain and we'll receive a reward for it. Do you understand? But let me say to you, before we enter heaven, there's going to be a purifying, a completely getting us ready and right before God. And God wants a lot of that to be done right here. When there's sin, get forgiveness for it. Get it cleansed. Get it before God. See, a lot of those things need to be taken care of right here while we're on this earth. And then, one of these days, though, I'll guarantee you, he will purify. The judgment seat of Christ, he will purify. Amen? And at the same time, and I'm not going to go into that, but at the same time, he'll lose a lot of rewards because we didn't take care of it down here. Now, I just want to share something with you. What's the qualifications for membership at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? What is the qualification? Qualification, first of all, is this, that you're born again, you're saved. Salvation. You need to know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven because you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You truly have trusted Christ as personal Savior. That's first. It's what it takes to be a member. You know Christ. Amen. Secondly, you follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. Why? Because that's the first step of obedience. God instructed us to be baptized. And we a church member must be saved, must be baptized by immersion, just like Jesus was. Okay. Now, you see, if a person's saved, they ought not to ever not want to be baptized. They ought to want to be baptized. Amen. And then thirdly, to be a member here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you need to have sound doctrine. You need to believe right. I am not going to mention all of them, but you need to believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, don't you think? You need to believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just giving you some of these. You need to believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you need to have your doctrine right. You need to believe that the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible is the Word of God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
It's God's Word.
Amen.
Amen. And then also, we believe it's the blood that washes away sin. Can't get washed away sin in the baptistry. It's the blood that washes away our sin. What I'm saying is you need, and I need, to have our doctrine sound. We need to believe right according to the Bible. Amen. You may not know everything. I understand that. But you need to have your basic doctrine sound according to the Bible. Amen. The word sound means healthy. Healthy. Healthy doctrine. Amen. So your belief ought to be right. And then your conduct ought to be right. You're gonna be a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You ought to live like it. Set forth a good example. I mean, you can't just go out and sin and live like the devil and do anything you want, and then you bring that reproach upon the church. First of all, you bring it on Jesus Christ. Then you bring it upon his church. You don't have a right to do that. Amen. Amen. Is that good preaching? Is it true preaching?
Yes, sir.
Sure. See, we have a responsibility when you're not joining a club when you join a church. You're not joining even the army. We talk about the army. You're not joining the army or the Marines or any of that when you join the church. You're joining the church.
Amen.
Amen? Yes, sir. I said to Steve Davis the other day, he's thinking about joining their church, and I said, "Steve, remember when you joined the military?" And he said, "Yeah, I sure do." He said, "I'll guarantee you." What was it you told me? He was Navy, wasn't you? Navy. He was Navy. He said, "Yeah, and I didn't go over to the Army and the Marines and all them, did I?" That's good preaching. Join the Navy, you stick with the Navy. Join Blessed Old Baptist Church, you stick with Blessed Old Baptist Church. I mean, amen? Sure, it's what you do. So I'm just simply saying to you, there's salvation. Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you been baptized or willing to be baptized, willing to follow the Lord in baptism? Is your doctrine right, best you know how, best you've learned? Have you learned the basic doctrines of the Word of God? You know what is right and proper according to the Bible? And is your conduct right? Are you willing to live right? Amen? That's important. Yeah. See, that's where God's work takes a slam all over this country. People say they're church members. People say they're this and that, and they go out and they live just like the world lives. No difference. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Church is supposed to be a place where people come together and gather together, save people, baptize people, and right doctrine people, and also living right people. Now you say, "Brother Ross, there's people makes mistakes, people sin." I know that, but there's also an altar. There's also a forgiveness of a great God. There's repentance. Amen. There's repentance. We're a mess when it comes to, we was ruined by the fall. Back in the Garden of Eden, we was ruined. But we have redemption through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we have regeneration. The Holy Spirit of God has regenerated us. He's born us again. He's give us a newness of life. I was thinking about this week. I was thinking about an old house. It's kind of what it means, because the word regeneration speaks of the new birth, and it means of renovate. thinking about you going to an old house. You buy an old house and you just clear the inside out. I think Jeff done that, didn't you, Jeff? Where are you at? Where's Jeff at? Did you do that?
Most of it.
Just kind of, you just go in there, you know, you kind of just take it all out. You put all new in. I was thinking about that on salvation, thinking how God made us new, renovated us. No, he didn't take the old one and make it better. He made it all new. Okay? But after the inside is new, we get to looking around at the old outside. It needs a coat of paint. Needs a new roof. Needs some boards, some nails, put in some boards, hold it tight. Maybe needs a porch with a new porch on it. What I'm saying to you is, you know, when you get new in here, you begin to clean up the outside. Sure you do. Sure you do. That's the way God's word teaches. We become different on the outside. Why? Because we're new on the inside. We don't have any problem with that. We know we got a lot of problems. We know we're not everything we ought to be. But we look around and we say, you know what? I'm a new creature in Christ. And I need to clean up some things on the outside. That doesn't save you. That doesn't do that. But because you're saved, you say, I got to clean up some things. That's because the Holy Spirit of God does that in our heart. Amen. So I'm saying to you, are you saved? Did you follow Christ in baptism? Are you sound in doctrine? Are you sound in conduct? You'd be a good candidate for membership at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I would suggest that you think that over. If you're not members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're saved, you're baptized, you believe the doctrines of the Word of God, and you're trying your best to try to get rid of those old things on the outside and straighten yourself up and try to do the best, better than you have been, I'll guarantee you're a good candidate to come and join with the rest of us that's doing the same thing. Now, first of all, I got to know, are you saved? Are you born again? Without salvation, all this other don't mean anything. Are you born again? Are you God's child? If you don't have the bearing witness of the Holy Spirit of God, that if I died today, I know I'd go to heaven, then you need to get saved. You need to know that for sure. You need to know that today. Get that right. And then you need to follow the Lord in baptism. And learn the doctrines of the Word of God and grow on the grace and knowledge of the Lord and change the conduct that needs to be changed and go along with us and just work for God. Amen? Just do right. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your love for us. Thank you for who you are. You're the great and true God. I pray that you do in our hearts today, Lord, whatever needs to be done. I pray we allow you to do that. Whatever need is there, I'm sure you've dealt with it today. I'm sure the Holy Spirit of God is convicted. So I just ask you, please, the will of God be done. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.